Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company, rolling on live Wednesday morning. Hopefully all of you having a great start to your day. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Cut sheet coming up 7:45. Tony Bruno at 8:30. So many good stories today. I'm not sure we'll even get through all of it, but man, it is not a segment that goes by where it's like, what should we put? Like, I'm just going to put this here, put that there, because we have so much to jump into, and we have a lot coming up here before we get to the cut sheet in less than 45 minutes. But let's get to the news, all sorts of developments over the last 24 hours. And for that, we give you the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. Wednesday morning, March 13th, the temperatures are rising, 50 degrees, headed up to low 70s today with bright sunny skies. And this morning, we are sponsored in Kale and Company News Live on this Wednesday morning by Piazza Auto Group. This morning. So here's the latest. We have three suspects in custody, according to Philadelphia police, after that shooting. And remember, 11 school children in Philadelphia shot last week. One, in fact, a 17-year-old was killed. This arrest in particular, they say, has to do with last Wednesday's shooting in the Northeast. A 19-year-old taken into custody at his family's home in the Northeast, just off of Academy Road. And now the latest from U.S. Marshals to the fourth suspect's family. Turn your son in, urging those family members, bring him in. He is most wanted here. They're not IDing him because he's apparently underage. He's 17, but they're saying, turn your son in, do this now. So that is the strong urging from U.S. Marshals as well as Philadelphia police this morning.
You know, we've heard Governor Josh Shapiro say that we will not be deploying the National Guard to Philadelphia, but maybe we could just keep U.S. Marshals on standby in this region, because it seems to me like we're probably going to have more of these occurrences popping up in the next couple of days, just based on the law of averages here in the city. Just stay around. Stick around this general region. Maybe post up in the Delaware Valley somewhere.
I think the problem, Nick, is the U.S. Marshals are the ones who are assisting in catching all of these, alleged violent individuals.
Yep.
There's so many warrants out.
Mm-hmm.
I know that as far as you're saying, state police looks like they will be involved in helping out.
They should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Police in Montgomery Township searching for a suspect who attacked a jogger. And this just happened last night. It was a beautiful night. Nick talked about being out. We were all just loving it. Greg Stocker was out working in his yard. And a lot of people were out jogging. Great time of year to kind of start getting out, getting in shape. That's exactly for one woman who was out jogging 5:15 p.m. And this was in Montgomery Township. This suspect, and he was wearing a dark hoodie that he pulled real tight around his face to conceal his face. According to police, he grabs this jogger from behind, then struck her in the face. She was able to fight off her attacker and run away. So somebody who she's fit, she knew how to defend herself. According to police, thank God, that suspect was last seen running toward Upper State Road. And again, wearing that black hooded sweatshirt. And think about how warm it was. Nobody was wearing a hoodie.
No.
With the hood up and then.
And the drawstring.
Yeah, the drawstring. Exactly. Yeah. And so they have a general description. Tall guy, thin, 6 feet tall. But they immediately got a canine unit out there, lost the scent of this guy.
Yeah.
But they want to put the word out to, especially to women jogging alone,
mm-hmm.
don't wear those earbuds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you can't hear, maybe somebody, you lose your sense of somebody coming up behind you.
How many times have I talked about people wearing those and being detached from their environment and not aware of what's going on? Exactly another reason right there.
Gives me chills. But, you know, they're just saying, hey, wear one. You know, put one earbud in one ear, but leave the other one out.
I'm wondering if that was, you said a state road, what, state road, you said?
Where was it?
I was wondering if it was maybe along that long trail along 202 that goes all the way up into Bucks County, up to Doylestown.
In Montgomery Township.
Yeah.
It's Longleat and Westgate Drives.
Okay.
So I don't have this.
Yeah.
It's right toward Upper State Road.
Okay.
But, you know, it was 5:15. It was pretty bright out.
Gorgeous.
You know?
Yep.
Thank God she had her phone with her,
mm-hmm.
fully charged phone, right? She could call police, and they got there very quickly with the canine unit. So she's okay, but, you know, it's a serious situation that we're following there. We also, I know that, and Nick, I know you had texted, you had X'd this out or put this out on Twitter, that the Valley Forge Casino was robbed at gunpoint by four masked men, according to police, and this one under investigation. So a serious, you know, a little concerning there. We hear about people from casinos being followed.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you know, four masked gunmen, you know, holding them up like this at the casino.
Yeah.
I don't remember this happening in the suburbs because that's out by KOP.
Yep. Personally, when I get done leaving the casino and I've taken the joint for, you know, five figures, I have lots of security escorting me to my truck. So that they ensure that I get in there, you know, effectively and I get out of there with my cash. But this was obviously not the case. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, if you've ever been to a casino, and I'm assuming most people in this audience have probably been to a casino at least once. That's like if I'm going to rob somebody or a place, the last place I'm doing short of like a federal government building is a casino. Between security and all the camera footage,
yes.
you have to have a ton of nerve to walk into a casino and expect to get out of there.
That's well said. Just a headline for you that two 19-year-old young men were charged with homicide by vehicle. This was in a deadly crash last May, and they're accused of racing there on Bethlehem Pike. And so this was a real tragedy here and killed a 62-year-old passenger. Remember we talked about this. They were racing there. So that from the Montgomery County DA. And speaking of DAs, a report that broke yesterday that there was a ruling, this was a federal court ruling, that the Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner's office, the headline, misled the court while trying to free a man from death row. That was a court ruling from a federal court. And so the Philadelphia DA Krasner under fire. This was an effort to overturn the death sentence of a man convicted of killing an East Mount Airy couple way back in the 80s, a pretty famous case. Now they're saying, yep, once, and this is, as we know, not the first time he's been accused of this.
Of course not. Think about how much more money Larry Krasner could have made in his career if he was just willing to actually come out and publicly announce he's going to be a defense attorney.
Well, that's what he was.
Well, I know. But, like, I mean, think about it. You go to the DA of, you know, Philadelphia, you're taking a major pay cut from being a, you know, a private defense attorney.
Well put.
Yeah.
So true. Another headline. This is a follow-up. We have a lawsuit, a countersuit, if you will, filed in court as two University of Pennsylvania faculty members and a group fairly recently formed, Penn Faculty for Justice in Palestine. They're now suing their university, UPenn, suing in federal court to stop the transfer of documents about those faculty members as well as some grad students. They don't want that information to go toward a congressional committee that's investigating these complaints of anti-Semitism on campus. So an important follow-up as we think about it, I'll just headline the lawsuit. It's saying that they're warning of a new McCarthyism taking hold, and says that this House Committee on Education is that's investigating all these universities and these allegations, that this is the new age of McCarthyism that we saw back in the 50s.
It's been a rough stretch for the Ivy League, has it not?
Yes. Amen for that. And so let's talk about, well, headlines nationally. We've been talking about this, the rematch. It's on. So we saw that Biden, Trump, last night clinching their party nominations, respectively. The Democrats, the Republicans, will have a lot on that, but I'll just headline it for you this morning. And a lot of Eagles news as well. I did see that as Cabrini College, which is a, I just love Cabrini College, that it looks like Kylie Kelce, the better half of Jason Kelce's, you know, his wife is, it looks like she has been booked as their final commencement speaker. Cabrini. So I thought that was a great story.
Cabrini's the little private Division III school, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a long time, Cabrini.
So Kylie at Cabrini, that's one of the headlines. We just want to thank Piazza Auto Group for being our sponsor this morning. Experience pure performance from the Acura model lineup. Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester. Get special financing as low as 3.9% APR, 36 months on the 2023 TLX Sport Sedan and more. Shop online, PiazzaAcura.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring us on this spring-like day. We're looking at low 70s today. Tomorrow, we warm up to 74 degrees, and we'll round out the week with just unusually warm spring-like weather. It's not really spring yet. Some spring showers for Friday afternoon and evening, but through most of the day, I mean, we're looking at a lovely week ahead and 20 degrees above normal temperature. So enjoy it. This is Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210 is how you climb in. So I do want to just give these polling numbers quickly before we wrap up the segment. Yahoo News and YouGov, the latest poll is out, and there's no bump for the big guy after his State of the Union address. This is from Yahoo.com. Pundits may have fawned over President Biden's State of the Union address last Thursday, praising it as, quote, a home run performance from a, quote, fiery, powerful, vigorous guy that would ease nagging fears about his age and vitality, but voters barely seem to have noticed. A new Yahoo News YouGov survey of 1,500 U.S. adults conducted in the days immediately following Biden's big speech shows zero improvement in perceptions of the president or in his standing against former President Donald Trump. Before the State of the Union, the most recent Yahoo YouGov poll showed Trump and Biden were statistically tied in a head-to-head matchup. Trump 45%, Biden 44%. And following last Thursday's spectacle, they remain tied with Trump at 46%. He actually gains 1 point, and Biden still sitting at 44%, a gap that is well within the poll's margin of error, which is 2.8%. Before the speech, 40% of Americans approved of the job Joe Biden was doing as president. Today, those numbers almost identical at 39%. So, I mean, I think after that State of the Union address, the takeaway is with this poll specifically, Americans overwhelmingly are not moved by Joe. I think they are rejecting anything that Joe says and does. But the question will be this November, will they still vote for him? Will they sit it out? Or would they dare switch and vote for Donald Trump? 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Very interesting news in the world of COVID. More bad press for the Ivy League. Wait till you hear what Harvard just did to a professor who spoke up about COVID. And also, last night was the four-year anniversary of the sports world being shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll get to those stories as we continue. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on this Wednesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We're talking about spring-like temperatures for the rest of the week, working out in the yard. I hope that your lawn is lush, and I hope that you choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I like the fact that they provide better results, but they're also providing a service that's safer for my entire family. And that includes my buddy boy. You got to think about your pets when choosing a lawn care service. Natural Lawn's environmentally friendly approach to lawn care has been creating green, lush lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds since 1987. This is not some one-size-fits-all company. Their technicians work with you to determine the specific needs of your lawn. And Natural Lawn's exclusive organic-based products are designed to work with nature, not against it. What does that mean? It means they're safer for every single member of your family. Yes, the kids, the husband, the grandkids. And yes, if you have pets, cats, dogs, etc. For my buddy boy, I feel like he's safe as we go out in the lawn. He spends a lot of time out there. And you know what else I notice? People come over and they say, wow, is that a hummingbird? And look at the bees. Yeah, we talk about this. Where are the birds? Where my lawn, it's flourishing with all this wonderful wildlife. The butterflies, it's so beautiful. And people always comment to me and I say, yeah, because there are no chemicals here. I say, well, how do you do it? There are no weeds. Yeah, Natural Lawn of America. Get started today. Natural Lawn's safer products and programs take advantage of their limited time offer, free seeding every year. Yeah, just schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I'm not sure if I have the timeline correct for Tony Bruno, but I almost can picture it in my mind. It was 4 years ago, and I believe, and if I'm wrong, Tony will correct me, Tony Bruno and Harry Mays took their show to satellite, and then the pandemic hit in March. And imagine doing a sports talk show, a brand new show, and all of a sudden the sports world shuts down. If there's one guy that was able to pull it off and execute it and still deliver a fun, entertaining show, it was and is Tony Bruno. He'll join us coming up in just about an hour. But it hit me last night, and I believe Phil Omquist actually has the picture on YouTube right now. This was the back page of the New York Post 4 years ago yesterday, March 12th, 2020, the day the sports world stopped. And if you recall, it was Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz who announced after the game on March 12th, or maybe it was March 11th where he announced it that night, that he had tested positive for COVID-19. And that's when all hell broke loose. The NBA shut down. They suspended their season. Hockey ended. And it's, what, the second week of March? You're getting ready for the NCAA tournament in March Madness. The first ever NCAA tournament that was suspended, and it never happened. They never ended up playing the tournament. They never crowned a champion. And to my knowledge, not one professional athlete or major college athlete contracted COVID-19 and died from it. To my knowledge, I do not recall a story of any pro athlete in any of the major organizations or any major college basketball player, male or female, or college football player that got COVID-19 and ultimately died from it. And if you remember, all of these sports commissioners and leagues, pro and college, were all saying, oh my God, all these kids are going to be, we cannot put the almighty dollar ahead of the safety of young athletes. And there were very few leagues that found a solution. College football was one of them, and they played college football in the South that fall in September of 2020. If I recall correctly, the Big Ten, which is Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, they only played a 6-game season that year. They didn't start college football up here. Now, keep in mind, I was in the South at the time. They didn't start playing college football until almost Halloween that year in the Northeast. Yet we had, and this is the thing that I will never let go. And look, I got the first two COVID shots, so I'm not somebody that didn't get any shot. But countless athletes were forced to get vaccinated and ended up developing myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart muscle. And here we are now officially 4 years in to, at least in the sports world, of when COVID wreaked havoc. And to my knowledge, I have not seen an apology, a leader a medical professional, a sports executive come out and admit that they were wrong, that they apologize for shaming people over their own bodily autonomy and whether or not it was up to them to decide if they wanted to roll up their sleeve and get the shot. We had all of this social media guilt tripping where we shamed people publicly. If you had the audacity and the guts to speak up about it and say, you know what, actually, no, I got COVID naturally and organically. I believe I have the antibodies in my system. I'm going to pass on the shot. And once again, this is one of these things. And I think there's a sizable portion of our audience that feels the same way I do. Like, we want some sort of acknowledgement, apology, and that's the very minimum. That's the very least. I think most of us realize we're never going to have action, right? Fauci's never going to be prosecuted. Rochelle Walensky, all of these people that were trotted out for 2.5, 3 years, they'll never face the music in a court of law or anything like that. But, you know, just a, hey, you know what? After further review, looking at all the data, maybe it was a little bit too over the top for some of us medical professionals to treat people the way we did, for you having the right to reject the shot. That's the thing that's frustrating to me. Yeah. Nobody's ever been held accountable for it. And we just move on to the next thing, right?
Yeah. And here in Philadelphia, I mean, we had the confirmed case. It was March 10th, but our lives were upended by what, March 17th? That was our
when was the 2 weeks to slow the spread? When did that start?
March 17th.
It was right before Easter, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Montgomery County, I think, was the first county to shut down.
Yep.
You know, quote unquote shut down. And it was this weekend, right? Or the weekend.
This coming up weekend.
Yeah.
So it was right around St. Paddy's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then our schools were shut down.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah.
And so this is why I always say, I mean, and my kids were in middle school. And so you think about that in middle school, think about and entering high school, and think about the kids now in Philadelphia who were not, didn't have, see, the suburban schools or private schools, at least they had it better.
Mm-hmm.
But in Philadelphia, it was a complete, you were locked out of your school.
Yep.
And that lasted years. And then even when they said, oh, we're going to give out the tablets, nobody had Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
The line, it was a hot mess.
Internet connection issues, people getting booted from the Zoom. I remember it, even in Nashville, my girl, I mean, you know, we had good internet and we lived in a nice little area, but I mean, there were still times where the connection would drop and I would just, and I was out of work at the time and I'm like the stay at home dad with kindergartners on a laptop and I'm like, boy, I would love to pour a cold one right now, but I can't because my girls are trying to get into, ABC 123, right? So it was just painful.
Dr. Rachel Levine, you look back, Governor Wolf, and they were all, remember about the masks, somebody gets kicked off the SEPTA bus because you're not wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids getting reprimanded, you're not wearing your mask properly.
Uh-huh.
Looking back on it and the idiocy of it and the damage they've done, and you're right. I mean, I think, can we not file a class action lawsuit in our society, our businesses, our lives upended, and to now look back and think about the fact that they really didn't have the tangible evidence for children.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the CHOP docs came out and said, this is bad for kids, get them back in school. And the union, for the teachers union,
mm-hmm.
out there picketing the CHOP docs. These are the experts. Trust the doctor.
Yep.
Trust the science. Nope. That's when it started. We started to realize, ruh-roh, this is political. This is about control. This is bad.
The only judgment, to my knowledge, to date, as far as, hey, we got it wrong and we'll make it right, are some of the people that are either firefighters, police officers, military people, or even private sector employees that ultimately had their job status restored. And I'm talking about those that either refused to get the shot, used a religious exemption or whatever. I believe there are people in certain sectors of business that were ultimately brought back to their job and given back pay. But I think that's a fraction of the people that were hit by that. So we'll continue that on the other side as Harvard gets some more bad press. Because why? They fired a professor for telling the truth about COVID mandates. And that's not from 2022 or 2023. That's just this past week in March of 2024. But first, a word from my friends at Blue Chew, all of my male listeners. Pay attention. If Father Time is catching up with you when it pertains to your adult relations behind closed doors, it's okay. It happens to all of us. But not everybody provides you with the solution at a financially feasible rate. That is, of course, until now. Kale and Company listeners, a special offer just for you. BlueChew.com, promo code 1210 for your first month free. That's right, BlueChew.com, promo code 1210, first month free. All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping when you use the promo code 1210 at BlueChew.com, a unique online, one-of-a-kind service that delivers men the same active ingredients as Cialis and Viagra, but in a chewable tablet at a much cheaper price. And now, Blue Chew comes in a mint-flavored chewable with the same active ingredient as Levitra. Confidence plus performance. It all comes standard with Blue Chew. No embarrassing conversation, no pharmacies, no doctor visits. Straight to your door, right on the porch, right on the front step, discreetly. Promo code 1210, BlueChew.com for your first month free.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company live here on a Wednesday morning, 855-839-1210 to jump in. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us on YouTube. Stocker's got about 4,200 cuts again today. So we will, you're going to have to keep it tight today. We got Bruno coming up at 8:30.
I will.
You're not going to be able to go long.
I know. I know how to do the show. Come on.
I saw all the cuts last night. I'm like, man, we've got so much stuff to get to. Like, there's stuff that we still haven't gotten to from Monday.
I know. There's a clip that I pulled from last Friday that I never got to. So
now you know how I feel with stories that I've been sitting on for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right, is this still relevant? Can we talk about this?
It's because you two talk so much.
I know. All those YouTube comments. Yeah, I wish we had a talk show host that had less to say. But apparently saying things that ruffle the feathers of an institution can lead to your dismissal. I can't believe, well, actually, I take that back. I can't believe this because it's Harvard. But what a place. I they could give my daughters full scholarships. I think I would rather just pay for them to go to Montgomery Community College. The more I listen and pay attention to what's going on up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So Harvard yesterday saw this story from Ian Miller of Outkick, who's a really good, interesting writer, and he's kind of found his little niche, however you want to say it, in the world of COVID when it comes to writing. And he's always got really strong opinions backed by a lot of data and facts that you won't see on mainstream media that comes out from all of these different COVID studies around the globe, not even just domestically here in the United States. But Harvard University, and I'm quoting Ian from his column, like so many other formerly elite institutions, embarrassed itself during COVID. Universities ostensibly devoted to searching for truth and fact revealed a long fermenting truth in 2020. They no longer viewed themselves as truth-based instructional organizations. Instead, their sole focus and goal was indoctrination, pushing an ideological message, promoting progressive activism, and ensuring that identity and nonsensical anti-truth is privileged over objective reality. And during the pandemic, we know the way a lot of these institutions operated and acted. And he goes on to say, and even 4 years later, after the prevailing narratives conclusively being proven wrong on masks, lockdowns, school closures, and a host of other COVID-related issues, they're still cracking down on anybody who spoke out against the abandonment of their core principles. In March of 2024, this month, this year, we've been in this month for 13 days, to my knowledge, that has taken shape yet again with the punishment for Dr. Martin Kulldorff, an esteemed professor of medicine at Harvard and one of the few people since 2020 at Harvard that was actually searching for truth. Kulldorff revealed on Monday, just 2 days ago, that he had been let go as a professor of medicine at Harvard University because he told the truth. In a lengthy expose of the intellectual rot at the core of the university, he discussed how his early opposition to obviously incorrect policies like school closures led to anger and consternation amongst his peers and his superiors at the university. As one example, when Stanford University's Scott Atlas correctly advocated for opening schools, citing Sweden's example, that there was little danger and immense benefits from getting kids back into classrooms, he was criticized by 98 of his university coworkers. Kohldorf wrote a letter published by the student-run Stanford Daily backing Atlas and offering to come out there and debate any of the critics. Quote, none of the 98 signatories accepted my offer to debate. Instead, somebody at Stanford sent complaints to his superiors at Harvard who were not thrilled with me, he wrote. Kohldorf also correctly identified flaws in the COVID vaccine authorization process, posting on Twitter in 2021 that as the vaccine trials weren't designated and designed to make determinations, the other so-called experts espoused, they did not need to be used by everyone. Quote, thinking that everyone must be vaccinated is as scientifically flawed as thinking that nobody should. COVID vaccines are important for older, high-risk people and their caretakers. Those with prior natural infection do not need it, nor children, he wrote in 2021. For that and other vaccine-related crimes, he was censored by Twitter, and he was also disciplined by the CDC. So you have the three-letter group out there coming for people that disagree, despite having the merit to make an educated opinion and arrive at a different conclusion. Kohldorf requested an exemption to the university's vaccine mandate on the grounds that he already had COVID and recovered from it. He did not use the religious exemption, which I think some people absolutely did for real reasons. I think others tried to use that as a reason not to get vaccinated despite not having these religious beliefs. But this guy was like, look, I got it naturally. I don't need it. He said, having had the COVID disease, I have stronger, longer lasting immunity than those vaccinated. Lacking scientific rationale, vaccine mandates, or religious exemptions, I request a exemption from the COVID vaccine. And this guy has basically been harassed. He's been censored. He's been attacked by his school, by the CDC, by social media, all because he wanted to join Scott Atlas at Stanford and not have to take the vaccine mandate. And now he is officially out of work, effective 2 days ago, Monday, March 11th. So I think the takeaway here is still to this day, 4 years and change into the pandemic. Like if you don't fall in line with the groupthink and have that one way school of thought, it doesn't matter. And this is not just, you know, random dude on Twitter. This is not a talk show host. I mean, we're talking about a professor of medicine at Harvard and this guy is out of work. This reminds me of the story here locally. Don, what's the guy's name at Thomas Jefferson? He was in his 70s. He was liking tweets, and Thomas Jefferson Hospital or University came down on him and punished him in some regard or fashion. I always draw a blank on that guy's name.
Mark Joukowsky.
Yes, yes. Another guy with a medical background that, you know, just because he doesn't arrive at the same conclusion as Fauci and these other individuals, he'll be punished. Which is interesting because even when we go back in, you know, in the political spectrum, Robert Redfield was a guy who did not have the same, you know, theories and conclusions as Fauci. And he was also a guy that was, you know, smeared. And this is a guy who could probably match Fauci bullet point for bullet point on his resume. Yeah.
And Mark Tykaczynski, who just talked about, he remains a full professor.
Yeah.
But he's the one, and that was just this past, what, July?
Yeah, this summer.
They forced him to step down, kind of shamed him because he was bookmarking. And, you know, he said, you know, I didn't realize I would be defined by things that I wanted to look up or was interested in. But he stepped down as president and interim at the medical school.
Yep. And you've also had other guys, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. I believe he's from the West Coast. Yeah. I think presumably Stanford is what I recall. So you have a lot of people out there that are equally qualified and trained and have the resume to go toe for toe with any of these other establishment bureaucrats. And sadly, we have to sit here and characterize it as courageous and brave when all it really is another medical professional with a different opinion. And you know, I've used the analogy many times. You got a bad knee, you go see a doctor. This guy says you have A, you don't like that result, you don't like that diagnosis. You get a second opinion. Second doctor says, no, actually, you don't have A, you have B. Here's a different way we're going to go about it. One guy might suggest surgery. The other guy might suggest physical therapy and rehab. And, you know, if you had a different view during something as big as COVID, you were obviously faced with a ton of crap because, God forbid, you disrupt the flow and the sale and the purchase and all the money that big pharma generates. Can't have those profits diminish by the day. All right, 7:45, right on the... I'm hitting everything on time today. I'm like a machine today. Let's get to a Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo, where right now you can lease an XC40 for $459 or an XC90 for $629 a month. And interest rates as low as 4%. Hurry into Cherry Hill Volvo for details today. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Starting with Cut 14 here, Phil. We played a little bit yesterday of... It was actually more of a video of the Utes at spring break, right? Spring break, it's spring break time here in school, right?
Yes, it is.
Everybody's out on spring break.
Everybody's going south.
Places of warmth, sunshine. Fox and friends went down to Florida to check in on some of our gals, seeing what they're up to for spring break.
Mm.
Would you like to hear what this one's up to?
Absolutely.
Cut 14, Phil. Go.
So tell me, how do y'all start y'all's day?
Morning routine. Two things you can't live without. Two things you can't live without. Bronzer and cocaine. Wake up, put on bronzer, cocaine, and we're good for the day.
Bronzer, then cocaine.
I know, I'm a senior in college, and here I am. Yeah, my two go-tos, bronzer and cocaine.
And this is the first day of spring break.
So the gal that said bronzer and cocaine while she was totally slurred, she might not make it back for the spring semester. It could be a wrap for her, sadly. Bronzer and cocaine. So this is what I missed out on.
I think I dated her.
Bronzer and cocaine. Is that your cover band?
That's Greg's first album.
So all the parents out there who may be like, ooh, I wonder what little Trish is up to in spring break. God. Bronzer and cocaine.
And
so
I thought it was just vodka Red Bull.
No.
Oh, it's bronzer and cocaine.
Bronzer and cocaine, everybody. All right. So there you go.
Wow.
Hopefully, sleep well, parents. Sleep well.
Wait, how does Lawrence Jones get that assignment? Would you rather go down to spring break or sit to the right of old man Ducey?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go spring break.
Moving to cut 15 here. Let's stick with this spring break theme. This Fox News reporter asked a lot of spring break gals and guys who they're voting for.
Oh, boy.
And questions about Joe Biden and all kinds of stuff. Hilarity ensued. This is cut 15, Phil, go.
Old as I need a hot president, and I think it should be me.
Look, I'm very young, energetic, and handsome. What the hell am I doing this for?
Joe Biden sucks, dude.
He's raising prices, like, not it.
This old, he's not really doing man.
Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
What has Joe Biden accomplished?
What has he accomplished?
Nothing.
That would be correct.
Really? Yay, me!
How's Kamala doing?
Kamala? Is that the colored lady like me?
I don't even know who that is. I don't even know who that is.
Kamala Harris?
Nothing.
What do you think she does?
Oh, it's a girl.
Harris, dude. She's running the ship from behind the scenes. She's pulling in strings like a puppet, bro.
No, I... You're right.
Yeah, baby.
Define inflation.
It's bad.
I was paying $8 for a Big Mac meal a couple of weeks ago. I'm paying $12 for it.
People going broke.
That's not a big thing, okay?
If you were in charge, how would you handle the migrant crisis?
If they're not slaying the day, they could get the out.
We gotta get those illegals sent back home.
It's like getting into bars, when like girls get in the bars easier than guys.
So you let the girls in first.
It's the only reason I like being a girl.
A sexist would say.
How important to you is January 6th?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to dates like that. January 6th is very important because my best friend's birthday is January 5th. So that's the best week of the entire year.
I like it. I like it. It's a good day.
great day because I know who's going to win.
What happens on January 6th?
That's when we vote.
Goodness, oh my. Y'all. Bless his heart.
How's Donald Trump doing?
He's cool, mother. Love that guy. He's good stuff.
I love you too, but you're not my type.
You want to say what's up to Jesse Waters?
Hi.
My mom loves you. Okay, and that means I love
you
gold
too.
What's up, Jesse Waters?
All right, enough.
I love that. I love the gal that said, "If you're not for the illegal immigrants, if you're not slaying the day, get the F out."
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Joe, now look, I think obviously those people are just either inebriated or clueless or a combination of both.
Do you think?
But Joe has an 18 to 34 problem. Joe's got a younger demo problem. There's no doubt.
Guys, these are dopey spring break kids who aren't going to vote anyway. Like, stop.
You don't know that.
They're not.
How do you know?
It's funny, but we should take nothing from it. That it's like, well, Trump has this in the bag because a bunch of drunk spring breakers have no idea what's happening.
I didn't say he has it in the bag. I said Joe's got a younger... Joe is not resonating with the younger demo. We've seen it in all the polls.
I think, if anything, it's a non-refreshing reminder
of how stupid kids are.
Of how we live and breathe this stuff.
Should we raise the age to vote based on that?
Yes,
vote?
Yes.
But can you imagine being the parent and you said my mom's a fan. It's like those parents are on the plane coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a reminder that because we live and breathe this stuff, but more than half of the country they have no idea.
What's the bigger violation, Joe? Confusing January 6th with July 6th, or that guy that said January 6th is the day we vote.
What I mean. Like they these kids have no idea what they're talking about.
I mean, technically, I would say Joe's off by 6 months. That kid was off by about three.
By the way, just because they're down there for spring doesn't necessarily mean they're
that's true.
They're 21. Well, no,
you'd be 18 to vote.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that.
Or at least 18.
No, I didn't. I'm not talking about
to consume
that.
I mean
to consume the alcohol.
Banned substances.
It's all the places in Florida except the Keys, right? Are 21 to drink?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And they also, by the way, speaking of Florida and age restrictions, did you see that Florida is trying to pass a bill to raise the age of adult exotic dancers from 18 to 21? And if you are found to be a stripper under the age of 21 you get caught.
Oh,
yeah. DeSantis takes you out back and he tells you this.
Goes to die.
Yeah, you go to die off the pole. You could face up to 15 years in jail.
Wow.
How about that? Talk about a law and order state.
Does anybody want to argue with me that we need to raise the age of voting to 35? I'm dead serious about this.
You look more right every day.
What?
You look more right every day.
Nick Saban was sitting next to Ted Cruz yesterday.
I didn't have this coming on my head.
What is happening?
Yeah, it's just
Senator Ted Cruz led a roundtable to discuss the student athlete's name, image, and likeness rights for college. Football, Nick Saban, was asked if this led to his or factored into his retirement. This is what Nick Saban said yesterday. Cut 17, Phil, go.
Future. You know, one question I have to ask. You just retired from a amazingly and historically significant coaching career. How much did the current chaos and state of the law contribute to your decision to retire now?
Well, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people. which is why I always did what I did. My dad did it. I did it. And that's the reason that I always liked college athletics more than the NFL, is because you had the opportunity to develop young people. So, and I want their quality of life to be good. I think, as I said before, name, image, and likeness is a great opportunity for them to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all. But to come up with some kind of a system that still can help the development of young people, I think, is paramount to the future of college athletics.
Now, many of you know my affinity for Nick Saban and Alabama football, but he is dead wrong here. And I think if you are a capitalist, you absolutely disagree with Nick Saban. So,
how much was he paid again?
Yeah, $12 million a year.
Sorry.
So it's okay when the coaches seek more money and go from one job to the next, but when now that college athletes can cash in on their name, image, and likeness and make six figures, and a select few can make seven figures, you know, if you're a star quarterback, players do it, and it's all about, well, we've lost the ability to the balance out, you know, the development of the student athlete. It's never been about the student athlete. It's been about these coaches basically being dictators, basically having all the power. They had a monopoly on the power. And now that kids can leave one school and not be punished and get paid by a car dealership or a food eatery or something like that, these coaches don't have the same power. And you're an old school guy like Nick Saban, 71 years old, and you lose your grip, your stranglehold. I mean, he was the highest paid state employee. There's nobody in the state of Alabama making $12 million.
He was the one in the movie Blindside.
Yes.
And the husband's like, and Sandra Bullock is like, hi, coach.
Yeah, she's like, oh, he's cute.
He's cute. And the husband's like, I'm right here.
Yep. Yeah, that was, who's that husband in that? It was the country singer, right? Was it Travis Tritt or somebody else? But anyhow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Saban's wrong here. He looks like old man, get off my lawn. With all
Tim
due
McGraw.
Respect. Tim McGraw, that's it.
Let's go back to the Utes here, shall we? I mean, Utes, this is a single 29-year-old woman. By the way, this should be Donald Trump's worst nightmare.
It
right?
is.
A single 29-year-old woman.
Yep.
Well, this one took to TikTok and is complaining about the cost of everything and how she can't keep up with anything, and she's working two jobs.
Okay.
This is cut eight. Phil, go.
Does anyone else feel like they're absolutely drowning financially? As a single 29-year-old woman, I have three jobs.
Three jobs, sorry.
And I'm still struggling, and I'm just getting myself farther and farther into credit card debt because I don't have enough after the first of the month to avoid using it. I don't know what to do. I don't know if any industry is doing well right now. I used to be a server. I used to have all this cash every night whenever I would work, walk out with cash. And I don't have that anymore. And I don't even know if they're doing okay right now. Like, I have seriously considered quitting my full-time good job to go back to serving. Because at least I can just use my personality and try to get more money than minimum wage or what an entry-level job pays people nowadays. It's sick. Friends, I might say no to your weddings. I might say, and I have said no to bachelorette parties, and I just can't. I just can't. But is it anyone else? Or am I just a dumb with money? Because I used to not be. My credit used to be phenomenal. Credit card bill, paid it all off every single time. It's not like that. It can't be like that anymore. Oh my God, this is so long.
There you go.
All right, so there's a meltdown live on TikTok, presumably. But you know what? In all seriousness, she's certainly not alone. Now, I can't really tell and confirm if she's a dumb, you know what, like she claims she is, or she's asking, because I don't know how you voted 4 years ago, honey. So to be honest, you know, in 2020 when you were 25, if you voted for the other guy, well, you know what? That's on you. So you feel the pain. Elections have consequences. Are you going to, and I have no idea whether she voted or not, but, you know, there is a solution out there. I want to share these numbers. Speaking of being broke, the Fed yesterday, and we also got the report of inflation. It was up 3.2% for February, which was higher than expected. Byron Donalds, congressman from Florida, tweeted this out. Inflation under, since Joe Biden became president, inflation up 18.6%. Average weekly earnings down 4.2%. Average year-over-year inflation 5.6%. Airfare is up 31.4%. Formula for babies 29.6%. Electricity 28.4%. Pet food, Buddy Boy, 22.7%. Mm-hmm. Buddy Boy's draining a hole in Dawn's bank account. Food is up 21%.
The only thing I'm not complaining about.
Oh, really? You give
do the farmer's
food?
Dog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it cheaper?
No.
So it's healthier.
It's better for you.
It's amazing.
For, yeah,
it's like a miracle.
I just give my dog pizza crust. And rent is up 20%. So all of these numbers. I mean, think about that. Now, I don't know what her full-time job was, but she's contemplating quitting what she claims is a good-paying full-time job to go back being a waitress so she can have cash.
Yep. Ugh. You can make a lot of money being a waitress.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sky News is reporting that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics in England.
Oh, a moment of clarity.
Mm-hmm. This is the report from Sky News that came out yesterday. This is cut 7, Phil, go.
Let's just bring you a bit of breaking news, which may be of interest to some of you. It's about puberty blockers. Now, these are drugs that are used to delay the changes of puberty in transgender youngsters. In terms of how they are prescribed by the NHS, there has been a lot of controversy over the last few years about this. At the moment, they are only prescribed to children attending gender identity services as part of clinical research, and they are not routinely offered to children at gender identity clinics, but they are still offered. Well, the government, NHS England, has just confirmed that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics. This is coming from NHS England, which just broke in the last few moments.
Well, kudos to them for putting their moral compass ahead of cash and profit. I mean, that sounds like a major victory. Of course, it won't play out like that in this country, but I don't know how a doctor with a straight face can, you know, go through with this for a minor. Like, again, if you're an adult, if you're 18, do whatever you want. If I was in the field of medicine where I was potentially able to provide these detrimental drugs to a minor, even if the parent is on board with it and advocating for it, and they came into my clinic, I would just be like, I'm sorry, it's just something I can recommend you. I can refer you to somebody that's doing this, but I want no part of it. That's just me.
There's supposed to be legislation today that they're going to vote on the banning of TikTok. It's today, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That they're supposed to vote on it.
This is my first news.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. I know. I'm just playing a little radio, lady. Those of you who tuned in at 8:02 may not be tuned in
late.
6:02.
Hold on.
This is radio, people.
And of course,
we start at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Elon Omar is defending TikTok because she's coming at it from a different angle. She's saying what I think a lot of people in this audience are saying is that you no longer have to rely on legacy media for information. She's also talking about what's happening in Gaza, which we know there's a lot of misinformation coming out from TikTok that is fueling all of the anti-Semitism that is happening in this country and abroad right now. But I digress. This is Cut 16, Ilhan Omar on the banning of TikTok. Cut 16, Phil, go.
We just had one of your Democratic colleagues, Congressman Moskowitz, on the show last night. He suggested that, for example, when it comes to the Israel-Hamas war, that China is using TikTok's algorithms to ramp up divisions in this country. And that's one of the concerns that he has in terms of national security. Do you think there's any validity to that?
What I do think that people are finding discomfort is the fact that for the first time in our nation's history, Americans have access to real images of the horrors that are experienced by Palestinians daily. And the onslaught that is taking place, this horrific assault on Gaza, really is being streamed to every single person here in this country. So we no longer have to rely on legacy media to get that information. Every single person has the information directly from the mouths of the people who are being slaughtered.
Two things. Number one, the reason Gaza is being slaughtered is because on October 7th, they came in and slaughtered people at a music festival in Israel. So let's never lose sight of that. You know, to take a page out of my playbook from when I was 7 years old. Well, they started it, so they did. But you know what? I'm actually in agreement, not just with her, but others now. I'm really getting to the point where the more I think about it, as far as not even for free speech, but also getting alternative sources for your media consumption and different narratives and different twists, I don't want it banned. The more I think about it, you know, I'm thinking about national security. That was my chief concern with banning TikTok. You know, if we got a wide open border, what the hell does TikTok matter? If we're talking about national security, like in all seriousness, right? Like they're taking our information. I've got a story later for you about how certain car manufacturers are tracking your driving tendencies to report you to your insurance company to boost your rates. We're being spied on and tracked at every single turn. And, you know, whether or not TikTok's around, that's not going to change. Keep TikTok. What the hell?
It's not, I don't believe that it's going to pass anyway. I don't think it's going to be banned. And if for whatever reason it is, I think there'll be all kinds of like legal lawsuits and all kinds of stuff.
So how do you think the vote's going to go as far as the actual, I'm going to say like 60-40 in favor of not banning it.
There's a weird, there's a lot of weird bipartisan support for it. Mm-hmm. And it's coming down to like people like, Tom Massey and a lot of these guys, who really, are against this stuff that are very vocally speaking out. And I'm glad they are. But ultimately, I don't think it's going to pass. Chuck Schumer says if it comes back to the, or when it comes back to the Senate, like he doesn't know how he's going to vote on it. So I don't know.
It feels to me when we think about just social media in general here in 2024, we can say we love this app, we can say we want to ban that app. But I think even from a media consumption standpoint, you just have to kind of embrace it, right? Like, I'm not saying you have to love everything about it.
Don't use it.
Yeah. But, like, think about our industry. Like, you know, we're no longer just a radio show, right? Like, we're streamed on an app. You can watch us on YouTube. You can get clips on every social media platform.
Yep.
So it's like either adapt with the times, or if you're in an industry that's profit-driven and you're not utilizing it to your best benefit, well, then you're going to be left in the dust.
Here's the thing, too, is that my information, our information, the three of us and adults out there, our information is out there because, unfortunately, this is our job and we have to do this and we all have Twitter accounts and this, that, and the other. Our information is everywhere. It's our job to protect our kids from it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Don't let them on social media as best as you can. Don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's our job as parents. It's not the government's job to ban it. And it's just ridiculous that this is even coming up.
Do you buy the motive, though, that it's about protecting national security and or the youth?
Nope.
I think both sides, even though there's bipartisan support, they have sinister intentions behind it.
You're right. Both sides are coming at it from different angles.
Yep.
But they both have ill intentions with it.
Correct.
In my opinion.
But there is a lot of evidence that their evidence gathering is concerning. And then what are they doing with it? The problem that they face is, first of all, First Amendment rights, you know, constitutional arguments. But also there are many other platforms that also do extreme data collection. Mm-hmm. And that's all going to come out. So they're going to sue. I think the better way to go is just protect our data, protect across the board, protect everybody's data. Yep. Boom, there it is.
Yeah. And the easiest thing you can do when we're talking about protecting, whether it's a human or data, I mean, it just takes,
to be honest with you,
the desire and the effort and the time. Well, you can protect your kids. You're right.
Here's the problem, guys, is the biggest commodity that we have to a company is our information. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Companies would pay billions of dollars and have paid billions of dollars to access our habits, our likes, our information, so they can, you know, make money off of us.
Yeah.
So there's no incentive for anybody, for any politician, for any company,
yep,
to say, yeah, we need better data protection. They want our data.
Oh, yeah. And it infuriates me. And I'll just, you know, this goes to every company out there that's listening to this show. Not that there's like massive companies listening to us, but I would say this. When you track me and pop up something that you know I have a tendency to look at, I'm less inclined to buy that product. Perfect example. I go to, let's say it's Golf Galaxy's website. I'm looking at new drivers and new putters, things that if I buy, my wife would put a bullet between my eyes. And then I go to a sports site or I go to a news site, and that same product that I was just looking at, that $630 golf driver that I have no right buying right now, when I see it pop up on FoxNews.com in the little corner of like an advertisement, I immediately click the little X and close it out.
Yeah.
Like, okay. It just drives me nuts. Like, I hate the tracking surveillance part of it. I really hate that part.
Speaking of that, though, if you look to the state courts, like, remember Montana, their new law was supposed to go into effect at the beginning of the year.
They were the first to do it, right?
They were the first. And then it was already, they've had a federal judge say, no, it's likely to violate the First Amendment. You've overstepped. So they couldn't ban it. So I think it's already, you know, if you look at that Montana case, it's already been tested in a federal court. I just think they all know that. So it's stupid for them to just deal with it.
Yeah.
Make us safe.
Mm-hmm. We played the clip. I don't remember. My days all run together. This is like a giant hamster wheel that there's a never-ending thing to say for. We played the clips from Haiti. Monday, right?
The asshole.
With the trash and the gangs and the dead bodies on the streets and the cannibal gangs that are eating said dead bodies.
The flowing river of trash.
Would you like to see this hearing yesterday where a DOD official testified before the House Armed Services Committee that the Biden administration is anticipating mass migration from Haiti into the U.S. via Florida?
Oh, so we have cannibals now coming across our border.
So don't worry, guys. I know Venezuela, they emptied out their jail cells and they all came here. Don't worry. Fear not, because the Haitian gangs, the cannibalistic gangs, maybe they can fight with the Venezuelan gangs.
And the gators.
And the gators. So this happened yesterday. This is cut 9. Phil, go.
Between Haiti and a failed state. It's telling, right? We can't really identify them because the gangs are in charge, the government has been thrown out, and as a Florida man, I'm deeply concerned about this wave of people that we're about to have, that we are having, coming from Haiti, and it will accelerate because I've gone to Opa-locka and I've spent time with the folks that are engaged in Operation Vigilant Sentry, and they say the number one push factor that drives these Haitians into Broward County, Palm Beach County, where they don't disperse throughout the country, they stay in Southeast Florida. That driving factor is the deterioration of conditions in Haiti. So what are we doing to prepare for that wave and to ensure that these people are not paroled into the United States as the administration has done with people on the southern border, but instead are repatriated back at the dock at Port-au-Prince?
Go ahead. Congressman, we're doing a number of things to ensure that we're keeping track of the situation and we're prepared. At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But we are alert to that.
Mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility. I think you're right that the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people. So we've recently approved some additional assistance that we can provide to the Coast Guard. I think that has now fully been approved. We'll be providing notifications if we haven't already provide additional shipboard assistance.
Because I've talked to the Coast Guard, and what they say would really support them would be more naval vessels, would be DOD support. And because I think you correctly said that there is an anticipated mass migration here, there are specific legal authorities that we can access that I would implore you to access. Specifically, George W. Bush signed executive order 13276. And in that executive order, there is the ability for any president to designate an anticipated mass migration and that get gray hull naval vessels into the Straits of Florida to deter that migration and then to repatriate those people before they get to Florida.
Wow.
Very strong performance out of Matt Gaetz. I'm really not reassured by anything that that lady had to say. We talk about coming into the state of Florida. Maybe the only man that can save America is...
Mustard.
It's DeSantis' state, and he's going to have to, you know, whatever he has, whatever legal authority he has, and you know he's going to have comments on this, because I'm not banking on the DOD or the Biden administration. Based on everything we have seen precedent-wise at our southern border coming up through South America, I have no reason to believe that these people will face strict resistance to enter this country.
Do you guys think Haiti is going to be sending their doctors and lawyers? And,
yeah, librarians.
Librarians.
Yeah, school children.
Yeah, somebody who's going to develop a cure for cancer.
No, probably a 30-year-old that wants to set you on fire and then eat your head.
You think that's coming from Haiti?
Yeah, because you got guys from Haiti that are eating corpses and saying,
hungry.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Ron.
Was that Ron DeSantis?
That is. Remember when he was eating the hot dog with the mustard and he's like, hungry. That's when we really, I think that might have been the day DeSantis' campaign died.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that was it. Play that again?
Yeah, this is DeSantis.
Hungry.
You don't remember that? Remember around the 4th of July, he was in like one of the halls of some federal or government state building. It might have been in Tallahassee. It might have been in D.C. And they were asking him, and we played the video of what condiment he puts on his hot dog, and he said,
mustard.
And then he took a bite of it.
Hungry.
God.
And you saved it.
Of course, I got everything over here.
And mustard.
Whatever you need, I got on my board.
Jesus mighty.
If somebody has said anything remotely interesting, it's on the board.
Robert Herr testified yesterday. We played some of these clips from in the 6 a.m. hour for all of you who tuned in later. Let's start with Jerry Nadler, Representative Jerry Nadler, Fat Jerry, who's not fat anymore. He looks like a deflated balloon.
oh my God.
He said that Biden probably committed a verbal slip or two. I'm not sure how any of that matters because Mr. Herr completely exonerated him. We heard this word a lot yesterday, the exoneration of Joe Biden from Robert Herr. Let's start with Jerry Nadler, cut 1A, Phil, go.
I believe, as is his habit, that President Biden probably committed a verbal slip or two during the interview. And I'm not sure any of that matters, because when the interview was over, Mr. Herr completely exonerated President Biden.
There we go. Completely exonerated. I guess it's over.
Yeah.
It's all over.
It's nothing to see here. Keep it moving. By the way, about a 32-year-old female right behind Mr. Nadler wearing a mask in March of 24. It's always a nice look. But here's the thing. He did not. And Jayapal, and we played you the clip in the Big Take this morning, Jayapal is trying to argue that Herr exonerated him. And Herr keeps pushing back on that word that he did not exonerate Joe. So... you know, we're once again mincing words.
Is that what we're doing?
That's exactly what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. No, I think they're trying to put words in Herr's mouth, and Herr is not having it.
Right. There's no exoneration in his 345-page report. These are just the findings. He's not the arbiter of exonerated or guilty or this or that. He's just providing all of the facts. That was his job as the special investigator or the special counsel. Whatever his official title is.
Well, Robert Herr said yesterday that we'll let him say it. Cut one, Phil, go.
Your report is not an exoneration so much as a determination that the evidence as you saw it would not overcome the defenses that you had identified, plus whatever lack of evidence you perceived. So it's not an exoneration, is it?
The word exoneration does not appear anywhere in my report, and that is not my conclusion.
Well, there you go. I mean, people have to read these things. Like if you just, and you don't have to read all 345 pages. I'm not claiming that I did, but there's like Cliff Note versions out there that highlight all the important findings, and that word does not exist in the report.
You played this earlier. This is Representative Jayapal saying that it fully exonerates him, and this was that back and forth. Cut five, Phil, go.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that
quiet.
The term, I know that whether the term, sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
you
the term willful retention has a Mr. Hurd, it's my time.
My time. Thank you. Shut up. Oh, my
but
God.
Zip look it. At what he just did. Yeah. See, he kept talking because they have to put what he said in the written record,
that's
and
right.
That's why he did that.
And yeah. You know what? He, as far as it goes on both sides, Republican or Democrat, Hurd was very even-keeled yesterday. He never got animated. Yeah. He never got agitated. He never raised his voice. I mean, he was a flatliner, stoic. I mean, that's what I want. Just give me the facts, you know?
It's not easy. You imagine this. He prepared this huge report.
Yep.
It's like a research paper.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go before all these people grandstanding. They know the camera's on them. It's like, oh, my God.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You can see the look on his face.
Every elected official is trying to get their camera time with the aha, gotcha moment. But the takeaway is, no, Biden knowingly and willingly retained documents that he did not have the right to have, whether it was when he was a senator and he stuck them in his underwear, leaving a skiff, whatever he did there. The seven different locations after he was once again a private citizen in 2017 or 2018 after his vice presidency was over. So, I mean, that's all there in the report.
I lost my sheet here.
Oh, no.
You got a lot of sheets in there.
Where'd it go?
Oh, no.
All right, here it is. The subject of mental acuity came up, too. That was a big part of the report. What was the phrase in elderly gentleman with mm-hmm. memory issues or something?
Yes.
Pennsylvania's own Madeline Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Questioned Robert Hur and said that actually his memory it was actually good, and she read something about it, and he goes, can you point me to that specific page? He goes, I don't have it in front of me. Madeline Dean, cut to Phil Go.
On an important point, very sadly, your report on page 208 says that Mr. Biden couldn't come up with the date, the year of his son, Beau Biden's death, when in fact in the transcript it shows that you asked him the month. And do you know what he said, Mr. Hur? He said, oh, God, May 30th. Would you like to correct the record? His memory was pretty firm on the month and the day.
Congresswoman, I don't believe that's correct with respect to the transcript, but if you could refer me to a specific page, I'd be happy to look.
I've read about it in reporting. Thank you. I yield back.
Hmm.
Oops.
Chair, now recognize.
I don't have the actual evidence or the actual facts.
Because
here.
She read about it in the Washington Post. She didn't actually read it. Because it's the Washington Post reporting that she's citing. She didn't actually read the report. It's your freaking job to read the report. Yep. Read the damn report.
Yes, and Madeline, as Greg would say,
can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
And stop calling me with your automated voicemails in Montgomery County that I get once a month from your office. God, I hate that.
Special Counsel Hur on his assessment and the report about the relevance of the president's memory, he said was necessary, accurate, and fair. This is cut three, Phil, go.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory, so let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding enemy classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly. I explained to the attorney general my decision and the reasons for it. That's what I was required to do.
And also in the transcript, he did not remember the year that Donald Trump was elected president. He also cited that his son, Bo Biden, who died in 2015, was alive in 2017 and 2018 when Joe was, quote, at the University of Penn. Politico, we talked about this around 6:30 this morning, with a very interesting column warning Democrats to tread with caution as far as going after Robert Hur, because the report could end up being even more damning if they continue to go after the integrity of Mr. Hur.
There was a back and forth between Adam Schiff and Robert Hur on the what he chose to put in, what he chose to sanitize, omit, all of that. This is cut four, Phil, go.
I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you were suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
explanation. What is in the rules, Mr. Hur, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Arizona, did the special counsel wish to respond to that final question?
Yes, Congressman. What you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation to the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you did.
That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
Schiff's got a lot of nerve, does he? Of all the people to talk about this stuff, and I thought Turley nailed it. He said, and I quoted this in the Big Take, in the competition of the ironic, Adam Schiff just won the gold medal in attacking Hur for reckless statements that he knew would, quote, create a political firestorm. Putting aside the relevance to Hur's analysis, Schiff is hardly the paragon of such restraint. What a weasel that guy is. All right, that'll do it for round one of The Cut Sheet. Tony Bruno's coming up live from Florida on the other side. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We just wrapped up the first episode. You saw it drop last week on social media of Kale Pool Karaoke. And we filmed that episode, that debut episode, in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. What a feature. What a vehicle. This thing is just absolutely loaded for the rugged, all-terrain, off-roading guy out there. And, of course, the mom and the family with the growing family with third row seating for all the kids. Everything comes standard in this awesome model. It's the Trail Sport Edition, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. You can check it out today at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or shop all their inventory right now. Do it during the commercial at PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
Brooklyn Nets +7 tonight. Bet the NBA with a no sweat same game parlay from FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score an even bigger payday.
However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Do it now and bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 21 and over. Present in PA. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
That was comprehensive and thorough of an
explanation. What is in the rules, Mr. Herr, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Arizona, did the special counsel wish to respond to that final question?
Yes, Congressman, what you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation to the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you did.
That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
Schiff's got a lot of nerve, doesn't he? Of all the people to talk about this stuff, and I thought Turley nailed it. He said, and I quoted this in the Big Take, in the competition of the ironic, Adam Schiff just won the gold medal in attacking her for reckless statements that he knew would, quote, create a political firestorm. Putting aside the relevance to her analysis, Schiff is hardly the paragon of such restraint. What a weasel that guy is. All right, that'll do it for round one of The Cut Sheet. Tony Bruno's coming up live from Florida on the other side. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We just wrapped up the first episode. You saw it drop last week on social media of Kale Pool Karaoke. And we filmed that episode, that debut episode, in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. What a feature. What a vehicle. This thing is just absolutely loaded for the rugged, all-terrain, off-roading guy out there. And, of course, the mom and the family with the growing family with third-row seating for all the kids. Everything comes standard in this awesome model. It's the Trail Sport Edition, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. You can check it out today at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or shop all their inventory right now. Do it during the commercial at PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
Brooklyn Nets +7 tonight. Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score an even bigger payday. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Do it now and bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 21 and over. Present in PA. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.